Thank you, Shane Givens Band, for that lovely song. Welcome back.
I always forget about the Shane Givens Band. I mean, I just don't think of it being Shane's band. I'm singing along. Yeah, the Shane Givens
Great
Band.
Great song. Six seasons of song from Shane Givens
song.
Band.
You'd think Love I'd it. Know it by now.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of True Crime on Easy Street. My name is Kelly Turner, and I'm not a doctor.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
Not yet. She's working on it. Yep. Maybe in a month or two, we'll have some news to report.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Pressure there, Katie. He just told everybody.
They sent out they said the tentative date, I think, for results is like April 25th. Okay. I don't know.
So here's what I propose. I think that for 1 week, Katie should get to introduce herself as a lawyer.
Okay.
And then she has to go back to being not something.
Not a judge.
Like, yeah, not a judge, not a janitor. I don't care. Just not something.
Let's figure it out.
Something a little more related to what she does.
Not a janitor.
said judge and I had J in my head.
That depends on the day.
I was trying not to do a lot of work there. Yeah, of course it does.
Definitely. Anyway. Definitely. I am the 100% dummy today. I don't even know what we're talking about. I was kind of unsure whose turn it was until I sat down in the chair. I just knew it wasn't mine.
I thought it was your turn. I knew it wasn't
mine.
Well,
maybe there's two dummies in the room today. Do you know what we're talking about today,
Scott? A little bit.
You do?
I've heard of it.
So you, okay. Well, I have no idea.
Scott gave me this topic. It's going to seem like a very Scott topic.
Oh, okay.
Because today we are talking about... It is a very Scott topic.
I picked it out.
Yeah,
it's a good story.
It's the heist of the Mona Lisa.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. It's just dripping in Scott.
It's
very much Scott. And I'm
excited to hear
my contribution. I tried to see if there was a murder surrounding it. There is not. So I'll go ahead and tell you there is not.
Okay. Next week we will have
next week's
murder and mayhem.
Maybe.
Back to it. For those of you sickos get mad when there's no murder.
Yeah.
Spread
the word, sickos.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Death and dismemberment next week.
But before we got into it, since there is no murder and mayhem this week, I was just, I guess we'll step into our Aeon water cooler segment and talk about a little bit about what's going on in the world of true crime right now.
If I can
get to what's going on.
There's a lot going on.
There is several things. So if I don't mention something, and
it's just because it's so new. We've recorded and probably it's happened since we've recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. But like one thing, kind of not an update, but we've done the Idaho murders.
We have.
Something new there?
Well, so some crime scene photos have been accidentally released apparently by law enforcement.
Oh,
so there
no.
is like.
I have not heard that story.
A little bit of. Uprising about that. I haven't looked at them or looked them up.
Look, people, don't go look that up. Mm.
But,
just don't.
And then there, maybe a future story. There was a nursing student found dead in St. Louis, and she'd been in her apartment for a little bit. I mean, she's decomposing when they found her.
Oh my goodness!
So weeks.
So they
a nursing student. You'd think someone would notice.
She had roommates.
Oh, what?
So, roommates have been charged.
Ah.
Well, that's who I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So we don't, and I didn't look into that, but that may be a story once we get some info on that.
Oh my goodness.
And then the big thing in the news right now is today's show co-host Savannah Guthrie's mother, missing 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie.
And I actually looked at that this morning. There was nothing new that I found, but anything from you.
Do we think it's foul play, or do we think it's a ransom situation, or do we think, did she have dementia?
So, they're saying it's a ransom situation right now because they have come out wanting so much Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin?
Mm-hmm. So they've reached out.
It's untraceable.
The quote-unquote captors. We don't know if that's really who it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or someone taking advantage of a situation. Because they found her blood outside the home.
Oh.
But not like a ton of it, but they did find blood matching her.
And I want to know why they targeted why?
That's the question. Yeah, we don't know. We do know that, like, really her home had no security measures.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it just seems so random.
Well, who thinks of a TV news show host's parent?
Right. And she lives, like,
kidnapped
in Arizona. So, like, she didn't live in New York. Yeah. Like,
so it just seems like there's more to the story. Mm-hmm. There's got to be more to
there
the story.
There was one lady, one radio host, and I just read the headline. I did not read the story, but it said, so-and-so doubles down on theory that family is involved.
Oh. Yes, there was one journalist like who had a brother-in-law.
That's it, okay. Now, we don't know that.
But we don't know anything.
Was this a disgruntled brother-in-law, maybe?
I'm assuming there was somebody who was pissed off in the family about something, and somebody's connected the dots and assumes that that's what's happened.
I don't think that there are any dots to connect.
Maybe not.
The story I heard was they came out and said that, and then the next thing was like, this is terrible journalism. There's absolutely nothing to substantiate this. Even if he has been named a person of interest, mm-hmm. you can be a person of interest just because you saw them that day.
True,
you know?
True.
So it's like, you know, this person did, you know, didn't tell the story correctly. So that's the headline I mm-hmm. saw last. So I don't know.
And
it could be, though, you never know.
But then Bitcoin, want give me all your Bitcoin.
It's like millions of dollars.
You can't trace it.
How do you spend Bitcoin?
Well, you can. You
what is it?
It's imaginary money in the sky.
Then what?
Well, we've all decided that it's worth. Right now, it's about $50,000 per coin. It was up as high as $120,000.
How
a couple
do you
of weeks
take
ago.
That and turn it into money in your hand?
You sell it.
You have an exchange on the internet, a Bitcoin or a meme coin exchange or a
people can pay you real money for it.
I exchange it for real money.
Yes.
I own 10 Bitcoins.
Then you've got about
and I sell them to
$500,000.
That is insanity. Why is it worth so much?
Because it's a long story, but there's only ever going to be so much of it. And as long as people determine that it's valuable.
If it's imaginary in the sky,
yeah.
Why is there a limit on it?
When's the last time you went to the bank and cashed a paycheck and they handed you $100 bills over the counter? It's all imaginary.
No, my paycheck is real. There's real money that goes into my account.
Well, Bitcoin
and I go
is
to the
real.
ATM and I can put cash in my hand.
To the extent that you just described your money, Bitcoin is exactly the same.
I can't go to the ATM and turn my Bitcoin into my cash.
You can
in
do
my
it
hand.
At your laptop.
Not cash in my hand.
Well,
I don't understand.
You turn it into money at your bank account, and then you can go to your bank account and turn that money into cash in your hand.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's an extra step, but it's complicated. I don't have any.
I'm not very smart when it comes to Bitcoin.
I had three Bitcoin about 15 years ago when they were worth $300 a piece, and I used them to pay utility bills for 3 months in a row.
And
because
and
Dish Network started taking Bitcoin. So you're welcome, Dish Network.
Oh, wow.
I gave them a shitload of money.
Wow.
It turns out.
Okay.
Because now they're worth, it was $50,000
this morning. I wouldn't even want to think about that.
I try not to.
I thought people lost a lot of money on Bitcoin, years ago.
If you buy high, then.
Yeah, it's like any other.
Good Lord, is it like stocks?
Yes.
Yeah, it's exactly like stocks.
All right, now listen.
It may go up, it may go down.
It's a market just like anything else.
Okay, I'll tell you what happens with me, and this is why I can understand this. Kevin will start to talk to me about stocks and investment and things, and I'm looking at him.
But you don't hear it.
What I'm hearing is the Charlie Brown teacher.
Got it. Okay.
And
understood.
I don't understand how any of that works. Right. I know that smart people do it, and I'm not smart. So.
Yeah, you are. You're just not smart about that thing.
Holy moly.
You can't be smart about
everything.
I
don't know if it has to be smart people to deal with stocks.
I know plenty of idiots who own stocks. So, don't sell yourself short, Judge.
Okay, well.
Know that my minor in college is in economics. And when I went to my advisor to do my minor, I went to the business college advisor to pick a minor. Because my major is in political science and you had to have a minor or whatever. Long story short. The advisor said, I want to do economics. And she's like, no, economics is hard.
Really? That's her pitch.
And I said,
She said that to you. Another woman advisor, yes. Wow.
And I said, well, no, I think it will be beneficial. Like I'm interested in the course material and I want to go to law school. And she's like, well, I think maybe if you're picking a minor, you should just do marketing or, what was the other one? Marketing or something. And I was like, I don't give two shits about marketing.
Right.
I want to do economics. And
I meant what I said.
She's like, well, I warned you.
Okay. Had she ever had you in class?
No.
So she has no idea. No.
And but she's looking at my transcripts.
And seeing the grades.
Yeah.
I can make a prediction. She failed economics.
It was the weirdest ordeal. And I was like,
did you?
I think your job is just to put it down.
Yeah.
Maybe she took that advisement job a little too seriously.
She literally said, economics is hard.
Economics is hard. I did have one economics class at Auburn University, and I lasted for not even the entire first day.
So it was hard.
I sat there and I'm looking sometimes around, you just know. And everybody's following, and I'm going, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, and like, I got up and left.
If you have any kind of business degree, you've got to have like, I think.
You got
to
have.
I think you have to have micro. Both, like micro and macro. Yeah. For whatever I was doing. So I was like, I've already had two. I just have to have like four more or something.
Right.
And she was like, and I, like one of my classes was like with the dean of the College of Business. Like it was like a one-on-one situation. It was fun.
Yeah.
She saw your grade in your economics classes that you had already taken on your transcript.
I mean, like, I don't know. It was, that's anyway, weird. That's the story on.
And I mean, I had students in class who struggled. I'd had them as a student. Mm-hmm. I knew.
Yeah.
And I remember telling a student, because I taught at a community college, it's not Harvard. I didn't treat it as Harvard.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't teach that.
I've seen community. I know that. You know how it works. Sure.
But I'm talking to the student, and I said, "Do you know the?" And this has nothing to do. I wasn't being sexist. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just said to her, I said, "Do you know the guy who sits in the seat next to you?" And she said, "I mean, I guess a little from class." I said, "Look at his paper. Just look at his paper." Really? During the next test.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. You got this.
All right.
And that's terrible, but you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
But then there, I had another student who failed. Well, she failed my class twice. And then when she was in it the third time and then failed the first test again.
Yeah.
Are you giving the same tests over and over again?
Pretty much.
I would identical, figure so, like,
much, and a whole study sheet.
Yeah,
you know.
So she's just a glutton for punishment.
I don't know, but I was talking to some colleagues, and I said I don't have the ability to teach her intro to psychology.
Yeah,
someone else is going to have to do this. I can't. I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to own it that it's me. I can't teach her with a study guide and a. With the questions reading almost identical.
So what's the resolution? What was her resolution, I guess?
So she ended up squeaking by with like a high D.
All right.
Success, yeah. Take it. Success.
I applaud mediocrity wherever I see it.
I mean, sometimes you just got to say, you're doing the best you can with what you got, and you go. But in Katie's case, that wasn't the situation because she had never taught you. She was looking at your transcripts.
Never taught me Yeah.
I'm assuming she thought she was doing you a favor.
I think so. Maybe she did. I wonder what the economics department thought about her. Like, because she's steering people away.
Was it a male dominated once you got in there? Was it like, was she trying to steer you from that?
Because I'll never forget, one of my economics professors was a woman, and she always said that she'd always been told, and she believed herself, that you cannot get hired with red nail polish. And I basically exclusively wear red nail polish to this day. I've never had a law school professor ever even look at my nails.
Yeah,
like they don't.
Like, sounds like an old school way.
Yeah, so
thinking.
She was older, and she was very pretty lady, like very well done up all the time. But yeah, she's like, red nails not going to get you hired.
Wow.
And I was like,
okay.
I've been part of the
sounds almost
hiring.
Like she was saying, red nails got me hired, but they're not going to get you hired.
Yeah, like, you're a whore if you've got red nail polish.
You hussy.
Basically kind of like what she said was the thinking behind it.
Yeah. You put that red nail polish, that's when the whores come
do
out.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Okay. Well, I guess.
But
I don't know.
I had
weird.
Women and men.
I've been on hiring committees, and I didn't look at anybody's nails.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know. I looked at their
experience and... Great, Scott.
I know, right?
Those are good.
I stopped biting.
That's a pretty nail polish you got on today, Scott.
It's clear.
Clear. And
traces of dirt.
Today, mine are polka dotted, and it's already freaking me out. I never do anything like this.
You see it in your peripheral vision.
I've had it about a week, and I'm over it.
Yeah. Oh, dang.
But, you know, it'll be another week and a half.
Well, I can help you get that off of there.
You really can't.
No.
Oh, well, never mind.
No, you can't.
So, anyway.
Back to Katie's story. Here we go.
I've done too much on the intros, but I'll just jump in and say we couldn't do this without our wonderful sponsors.
That's right.
Speaking of which, one is Cherokee Family Healthcare. They treat patients of all ages. Just give them a call at 256-266-1021 to schedule an appointment. If you're not feeling well, you can simply just walk right on into the office. They're at 819 West Main Street. That's the building right across from the post office, right next to Scott Lloyd's law office. Mm-hmm. You want to go see him too? I doubt
he's not
see
a sponsor, but he could be.
I don't think Scott's going to be a sponsor, but if he's listening, we appreciate it.
Cheap bastard.
Sorry,
I wasn't meaning it like that.
Yeah, we didn't.
So whether you're suffering from a cold, the flu, aches, pains, everyone's sick these days, give them a call. 256-266-1021.
Sorry, I forgot we were doing the commercial when I jumped in.
Yeah, we love Connie and the crew there.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, Greg's, I got to go see him next week.
Nurse practitioner.
Nurse practitioner,
yeah,
Greg.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, after you get your tooth fixed.
After I get my tooth fixed.
Go on.
Yeah, Greg can't do that for you.
No, but he can give me pain medication after, perhaps.
I mean, you know.
We'll see.
Within the realms of his ethics and legality.
Well, yeah. This is true.
Yeah, Scott, anyway.
Well, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, let's.
Before this gets out of hand.
Yeah.
So we've all heard the phrase, may you live in interesting times, which we all do. I keep saying the world's always been burning. Well, the world was kind of burning in 1911 as well. We were getting, you know, we were coming up onto the cusp of World War I. Anyway. I want to talk a little bit about the year 1911, not too much. I won't bore you with everything that Scott came up with for the year 1911.
Really, wow, that hurts.
This is oozing, Scott.
That hurts a lot.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was on January 4th when a British expedition arrived on the coast of Antarctica to begin a journey to the South Pole. Now, I have been deep diving into conspiracy theories lately in Antarctica. So one day, if we want to talk about that, I'm interested.
All right.
Because I don't think we know what's going on in Antarctica, but the British were there in 1911. So they did reach the South Pole in December. So they got there in January, apparently reached the South Pole in December. Did they? Did they not?
Oh my God. So now we've got to hang. That's hanging over our heads until she gets around to doing that 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a crime. I just like conspiracy. So if you want to look into that out there in the world and someone wants to talk to me in real life about it, we can. Okay. Go for it.
I think the conspiracy is between her ears, but whatever.
They also started the Titanic in 1911. You know, we talked about a little bit about all that was going on in Ireland around this time too, but we're going to jump on forward and ignore the rest of this, and then
just hit me in the face with it next time.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of where I started my notes here. Hold on. On Monday, August 21st, 1911, was the day that the Mona Lisa went missing.
That's where she started her
dun,
notes.
Dun, dun. Yeah. It was not the day that it was discovered missing, which is wild. That didn't happen for another 28 hours.
Oh, how? I guess you're going to tell us.
Yeah,
that,
no,
right?
Yeah, like. Like, it was not...
It's pretty famous.
It was not as famous at the time.
Oh, this is what made it famous?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So
not the Elton John song?
No, that came later.
Okay. Several years, yeah.
So, basically, we're going to talk about how lax the security was at the Louvre in Paris in the summer of 1911, which, as we've learned, is kind of the same today.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You go to stuff like that and people who like art and want to go see art and things like that are there to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're just in their little people. They get identified as they're in their little nerd community and they're
art
doing nerds. Their nerd thing and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would think That's it would be difficult to, you know, steal a huge painting like this. And we'll talk about that. But so when I say the Mona Lisa, I'm of course referring to the 16th century painting by Leonardo da Vinci. If you don't know what the Mona Lisa is, I don't even know why you've picked up today, but look it up. Well, there's a picture of it on our episode. There'll be some on the
social
media.
She's really not that attractive.
No.
No.
I'm not. This has to be why it became famous. I'm not really sure why people appreciated that painting.
Well, I mean, one novelty is that Da Vinci only painted about 15 paintings. He was doing a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything by him that you can confirm he painted. That's
a big deal. Got
big
it.
Deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that became more so after this fact, too.
Oh, because sure.
Because you couldn't, like, really, like, replace this either. There wasn't another, you know, oh, well, let's go get more of his works because they aren't there.
What does Mona Lisa mean? That's not her name. Mona.
Her name is Lisa something. That was her name. And then Mona means I think it's in the notes.
Like it's like no.
Is it not?
I don't.
Sorry.
I know what it means, but I can't remember.
I do too. But it's like it's not the It's not the beautiful, is it?
It's something in that vein. You want me to read Go Realty while we're looking it up?
Since we skipped all over the history, we'll let Scott talk for a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, go ahead. Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Greg Oliver, God love him, is the owner and broker at Go Realty here in Cherokee County. If you're looking for a home or property anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, you can call Greg at 256-504-3847. He always answers the phone.
All right.
Even thanks, if you call him at 2 in the morning.
Thank you, Greg.
So call him at 2 in the morning. Greg has a full list of waterfront residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he's ready to help you find your dream of a deal wherever you're looking for one. Greg has 25 years of experience in the market. You can see a complete list of his properties today by visiting GoRealtyAlabama.com. So visit the website or call Greg at 256-504-3847.
Thanks, Greg.
Right. Yes, Greg, thanks.
Mona Lisa means my lady Lisa.
My lady.
I was like, I thought it was my beautiful Lisa, but it's my lady.
I did too. I thought beautiful was in there somewhere.
Yeah, but
she's not.
No.
They are just my lady.
Yeah.
Well, that explains why they left out the beautiful part.
Yeah.
One of the most important things to know about the Mona Lisa is that it was impossible to steal in the first place. At least that's what the director of the Louvre had told a newspaper reporter really like just a few months before she got kidnapped in broad daylight.
Not the reporter, the painting.
Yes, the painting. Before she, as in Mona Lisa, got kidnapped in broad daylight.
Because I was about to say, I think I've identified a more important crime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I wish. I literally looked. So the director of the museum had actually laughed out loud when he heard the question about the possibility of stealing from the Louvre, at least according to this article, which I'm guessing was, you know, reprinted extensively after she was actually stolen. Before Mona Lisa was stolen, most of the world had never heard of it. According to author Nicholas Day in his book, The Mona Lisa Vanishes, prior to the theft, the only people who knew about the Mona Lisa were just art nerds and people who had gotten lost in the Louvre and found her by accident when, you know, they're walking past.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a very plain lady.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. No,
and she was on the wall with
she's looking at me.
15 other paintings at the time. She didn't have her own room.
Yeah.
So she didn't really stand out.
Right.
I think.
No. And the lucky lost few who had just been discovering the painting for themselves, they really had become entranced by the smiling face. Or was she smiling? That was, you know, the whole rabbit hole to go down there.
Yeah, that's the fun part of staring at her.
Da Vinci only created about 15 paintings during his lifetime. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there was no, like, replace. Like, you know, the catalog is small.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he spent his adult life getting involved in a lot of other areas, you know, science, invention, anatomy, but he was really into the inner workings of the human eye. But, you know, his most famous work here at the time, or here, you know, from this time, is going to go missing. So,
how big is this painting?
That I'm going to get into that.
Oh, sorry. Got it.
Because that's like the biggest part of it. It's heavy. Because it's not, you can't roll it up with how it's put together. So,
I've seen a Da Vinci in real person before.
Yeah.
And it took up a whole, it was from floor to ceiling. It wasn't the whole wall, but it was a floor to ceiling painting in London.
Okay. It's in its original place in London. It's on a wall?
No, it's not. A painting. It's painting. Got hanging it. On okay. a wall, but it's huge.
Got it. Okay.
You're not getting that thing out of there.
Yeah.
No,
right.
It's
right.
huge.
Yeah. This painting is about the size of a cabinet door. Like it's like okay, 20 so by 20, 20, 20, 20 by 30.
Okay.
And so we're at August 21st, 1911. So it's August. It's hot. It's about 7:15 in the morning as the three-man team of thieves, they are going to sneak out of a closet in a corner of a hallway. A closet located somewhere inside the massive Louvre Museum in Paris. Now, Scott, have you been to the Louvre?
I have.
And, I mean,
it's huge.
It's like, do you spend a whole day there?
Oh, you could spend a week there. It's massive. You when you pull up and you're at the pyramid, the glass pyramid, and you see all the buildings wrapped all the way around you, it's hard to believe that was, I mean, the king of France used to live there.
Right, because it was a palace in the 1500s, and then they converted it into the museum. But I've never been to to Europe at all, much less France.
Well, we didn't get to do much. It was, you know, it was one of those bus tours. You're get off the bus. There's the Louvre. Pick you up at 3:00 and you got 5 hours to try and find the Mona Lisa, which is what everybody does when they get to the Louvre.
Gotcha. Do they move it around or is it in the same
place? No, it's just, you know, it's a massive place.
Yeah, to get to.
They make you walk through the rest of it to get to the thing you want to see.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how they hide the goods. It's how the toys are in the back at the Walmart. You got to walk through everything to get to the toys.
Well, I think they do move stuff around some because they keep about...
Maybe.
Like, I think their inventory is usually around 500,000 things and they'll display, you know, what, like 40,000 at a time?
Maybe that much.
So they have spent the night in the Louvre in a closet.
Yes.
These three men.
Mm-hmm. They have hidden over. And so the Mona Lisa, like I said, it's kind of tucked away. It's not in a real conspicuous place at the time. So it was in one of those, like I said, you've got little cubby holes, annexes, storerooms, cupboards. There's a lot of less visited spaces in the Louvre, especially at the time they would have been less visited. So in one of those small forgotten spaces that are thieves, so there's different accounts. There's accounts, there's the three men, and then there's going to be account that it was a one man job. It's most likely multiple men because, like I said, this thing's heavy. They're going to hide out overnight and enter the museum late on the afternoon of Sunday the 20th. So the heist goes down on Monday the 21st. The Louvre is closed to the public on Mondays. At the time, Sunday is going to be a big social night out in Paris. And so typically Mondays are kind of spent hungover. And so museum is closed on Monday. Apparently in the early 20th century Paris, everyone hated Mondays. That was just the thing.
Maybe that's where that whole thing came from.
No doubt.
Like Mondays being terrible.
Yeah.
Besides that, the guards were all retired French army officers, and they were all there for one reason. They had to be. Serving as a guard was a condition of their retirement, and the luckiest of the soon-to-be retirees got to work, for lack of a better term, at the Louvre because there was never anything going on there.
Yeah.
So they're just, they're just hanging out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess not never anything because...
Almost never.
Something's about to happen.
The guards were either bored or goofing off and therefore not sitting in the chairs they were supposed to be in on Monday, August 21st, 1911. As if they were, you know, and if they were in their chair, they honestly could have been napping because that was a regular occurrence for these guards.
And it's Monday. Everybody's hungover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw that in.
Our heist team certainly knew about, you know, the lack thereof of guards at the Louvre because one of the thieves actually used to work there. It had been his job months before to take part in a security effort that involved putting thick glass over most of the paintings inside the Louvre. That glass policy was put in place because some nut job had, you know, come in and started destroying a painting in the Louvre in 1907 with a pair of scissors a few months before by a starving woman who was trying to get arrested so she could have a meal. So she's broke in, started destroying the paintings, trying to get arrested.
Oh. So, just walk up and, well, don't do that. I was going to say,
punch somebody in the face.
Walk up and slap one of those cops.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Like there could be different.
That is a bad idea.
Yeah, don't do that.
Bad idea. It's like the place in London where the idiot threw the soup, you know, at the sunflowers painting, and there's glass over it.
Yeah, that's
all you did was
create a job for someone to clean it.
Soup on, you moron.
Yeah.
You would think the guards would have been ordered to be more alert, especially since several Paris newspapers had recently conducted an undercover operation that pointed out that the many security flaws at the Louvre. But those reports did not stop the director of the museum from proclaiming that stealing art from the museum was impossible.
Oh my.
Not only did our chief thief know how the Mona Lisa was hung on the wall, he also knew how to unhang her from the wall, which was a delicate procedure that involved an exact maneuver to precisely release the painting from the four iron hooks holding it onto the wall. And it was, you know, right beside, you know, a dozen other paintings, so you had to get it off without knocking everything down, basically. Mm-hmm. When they got the Mona Lisa down, she weighed about 200 pounds, which brings us to the first little piece of history we have to mention about the Mona Lisa. She was not on a piece of canvas. So she was painted using oil paint applied to one side of three strips of poplar wood joined together to form a, so it's a 31 by 20 inch rectangle.
Well, no wonder she's so heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she is painted on wood. Poplar is a relatively lightweight wood that was often used in painting and the arts during the time of the Italian Renaissance. And if you're having trouble imagining 31 by 20, like I said earlier, it's about the size of your kitchen cabinet door.
But even light wood is heavy.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And the heaviest part about it is not even just the painting, because she's in this big frame that, like this big ornate wooden frame that, and a thick layer of glass. Mm. So that's
even more. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where we're going to get. Yeah. So she was only about probably 20-ish pounds on her own. And so the frame and the glass is what's really going to get us the weight there.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they have a theory, or they have competing theories about whether it was the one guy that we know for sure,
right,
or if it was him and a couple of buddies, because it's so, I mean, 200 pounds.
And they didn't break.
Coming off the wall.
They didn't break the glass or anything. Yeah. Like yeah. So like, yeah, I think you need.
They think, he had to have some help to get this done.
Yeah. Yeah. I, too, am covered in wood and glass.
Are you?
I would weigh a lot less if I weren't covered in wood and glass.
Wouldn't we all?
But, yeah, that's, you definitely have to have a team.
Seems like it.
To make that work. You're not just one dude.
Yeah.
Popping that off the wall.
Well, if you lose your balance for just a second and you got 200 pounds over your head, you're going backwards.
Down. You're going down.
Yeah.
But the painting itself is often described as small. Like, people are shocked at how small it is. Mm-hmm. I guess that it's got blown up in our minds. Did you think that when you saw it?
It was about the size I thought it was going to be. Now, I didn't get that close to it, and it's been, that was in 1998, so it's been, you know, a minute. What, 30 years almost? 40 years almost.
You said what?
30 years almost. Yeah, 98. Sorry, I did the math wrong. Anyway, I didn't.
Don't do me like
that. Yeah, my bad. I didn't get that close to it because it was just like you would imagine. That was the room that was.
That was busier.
Oh, people.
I was 20 deep.
Yeah, around those holding famous paintings.
And it was 98, so I didn't have an iPhone. I just had a. Yeah. We had a video camera, and I bought a bunch of those little disposable throwaway cameras and just click, 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 and got it all developed when I got back. Yeah.
Because you don't even know if you had a good picture or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss a disposable camera. You know, they're kind of expensive now. I've went to buy some.
Well, it's a novelty act.
Still need to do it.
I mean, how do you get the. Obviously, they still develop film somewhere.
Yeah, they do,
but not at the local.
I think they develop it at the Walmart. I think so.
Oh, okay, okay.
I don't know if they develop film at CVS. You can get pictures printed there, so like from digital. But yeah, I think Walmart still develops film.
Okay, it's been a long time for me too. I haven't shot.
There was a time back in the day when the film developer knew all sorts of stuff.
Oh yeah,
ooh, yeah,
big time. Knew everything.
So now that the thieves had their hands on the Mona Lisa, the first thing they had to do is get it out of the frame in the glass, because they can't be carrying that around. So remember, the guy who lifted her off the wall had put the whole thing together, so he knew how to take her apart. You can't roll her up, though, once she's taken out of the... So, I mean, it's still a big wooden rectangle you're carrying out, but it's less bulky than with the frame in the glass. So... There's going to be a couple of close calls in the 15 minutes that it's going to take them to pull the whole thing off, including a jammed door that required a whack with a screwdriver. But our chief thief here, he's going to ditch the frame and the glass in a stairwell and shove the wooden rectangle under a white artist's smock he had borrowed from the artist's closet when he spent the night in the artist's closet. And then... She's going to go down a stairway, through a side door, across a courtyard, past another empty guard booth, and she's going to vanish.
Where were all of these guards?
Literally.
Were they somewhere playing cards or asleep? Or?
Well, it was Monday. They were hungover. They were all standing around the coffee machine.
Good grief.
The espresso machine, I guess.
They're going to leave the Louvre completely unseen by anyone except one shop owner who later told investigators that he saw a man exit the Louvre with something bulky under his arm. Mm. He also said the man tossed a broken doorknob over his shoulder as he walked out of sight.
That's fun.
So this is where we come up with, like, we know for sure there was one guy. We assume there's probably three.
Yeah.
But this guy's only, and he saw one.
Yeah, maybe the other two guys went in a different direction. Hey, I got the painting. I'll meet you later.
Meet back at the car, wherever we've stashed it.
Well, the wagon.
Oh, yeah, there were a few cars. It's 1911. That's right. Shoot. The shop was a train. Was there a train?
There was no panel van.
It was a train.
There could have been a train.
You could jump on the train.
Sure.
That's
you timed it perfectly.
I guess. I don't know. Anyways, okay.
This is why we don't steal paintings, the three of us.
Yeah, no. The shopkeeper was so focused on the doorknob situation, him tossing the doorknob, that he didn't bother to get a good look at the man or worry about the something bulky he had under his arm.
Well, it's not every day you see a guy throw a doorknob.
But I mean, you're leaving the Heart Museum.
With a rectangle under your arm.
not worried about it.
I don't know. He sounds like me. He got stuck on that one detail and couldn't get off of it. That daggum doorknob. I don't know where it went, but I've got to see it now. You know, that was me.
And so partly because that shopkeeper did not get a good look at the Mona Lisa, it would be over 700 days before anyone saw her again. News of the disappearance prompted a public outcry in France. Newspapers wondered aloud if the thief was a criminal, a maniacal collector, or just an insane lover of the Lisa in the painting.
Which I'm going to say not the third option.
Say not the third option, but that was circulated.
Yeah.
An army of detectives descended on the Louvre to dust for fingerprints, question witnesses. You know, there any passengers, pedestrians were searched at checkpoints that were coming by police circuit. But like I said, this is over a day later when they're starting this process. So they're going to circulate wanted posters. When the Louvre finally reopened a week later, so they're going to keep the museum closed for a week. Thousands of people came just to look at the empty spot in the wall where the painting had once been.
Didn't care about it till it was gone.
Yep. Basically.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But I guess they had to close for a week for the crime scene, but then to also make sure that nothing else was taken.
Yeah, what else might they have taken?
They have so many things there.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Patty Hearst going missing in season 3, episodes 5 and 6. We talked about Elizabeth Smart going missing in season 4, episode 11. And long before that, the Mona Lisa was, you know, one of the first ones to get kidnapped and then get to come home to an adoring public. You know, no one knew about her until she was gone.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Some people argued that American banking magnate J.P. Morgan had commissioned the heist in order to bolster his private art collection. Others believe the Germans took the painting to disgrace their enemies, the French.
It's always the Germans.
Always the damn
Especially
Germans.
At this time in history.
Probably those Germans.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm
sure they had a more colorful name for them. But.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no. It's not over now.
And it's not over now.
Well, speaking of Japan, there were alleged
or not.
There were alleged sightings of the Mona Lisa, said that they came from Brazil, Russia, Japan. More than 2 years eventually passed without a break in the case. He just really thought she's going to be lost for good.
And I mean, at some point in time, you have to decide how much more money do you want to put into this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the end of the day, yeah, it's a tragedy, but it's, I mean.
Yeah.
And people who love art hate me right now.
But I see what you mean.
As a police force, you have to say. Okay, at this point, we've used enough money.
We're closing down the Mona Lisa task force.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
If there was one.
Yeah.
So now, as to the why it took a day to figure out she was missing. So now this is 1911, and photography is still a relatively new thing. I mean, cameras have been out for a bit, but really getting your photograph taken or taking a photograph of something was still like a novelty situation.
It was a huge apparatus.
Big. Mm-hmm.
And there was a group at the Louvre in the summer of 1911 that was actively using photography to catalog every single item in the museum. Hmm. So a guard's going to walk by and see that spot on the wall where she was supposed to be, and they just think that she's getting her picture taken.
Right.
So that...
Because that was nothing new for a painting to not be on the wall for a little
for
bit.
For a little bit. Back. Yeah. So on Tuesday, someone finally bothered to ask, hey, when are they going to be finished photographing that painting?
How long does this take? She's already smiling.
And they were told
is she?
She's not in the room where the cameras are. And they're like, oh, okay. I need to call somebody.
Bad. Yeah.
So Spanish artist Pablo Picasso was suspected for months and even questioned at one point, thinking he stole the painting.
Good grief.
The man who actually stole the Mona Lisa was also questioned at one point, but the cops were really kind of locked into a narrative for the theft that eliminated the possibility that just a lone immigrant, an Italian carpenter, maybe, could be responsible for the most unbelievable crime in art history.
So that's our thief, is a lone,
Italian carpenter immigrant.
Who worked at the Louvre.
Who had at one point.
Yep. Worked at the Louvre. Mm-hmm. Why did they bring him into questioning? Like, how did he become a person of interest?
I don't really know how he
They interviewed everybody.
Former employee, I guess.
Who had been there.
Gotcha.
Employee in the last year or two or whatever they did.
Gotcha.
And he was just on a, that's why they just went.
Long list of.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's not this guy. It's got to be more glamorous than this Geppetto.
This guy.
Yeah.
I don't think his name was actually Geppetto, but you get the idea.
No.
He was more into carving.
He was in, I know. I'm talking about this actual dude.
Oh, sorry.
This guy was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because remember, he had worked to help put together the frames and the mm-hmm. the glass yeah. fronting.
So he knew how to take it apart, yep. too. Yeah.
So he could take it right apart.
Mm-hmm.
So after the Louvre is going to reopen to the mobs of people rushing in, like I said, to see that empty spot that had become a mark of shame for the Parisians. You know, they're a very proud people if you ever see the movies. I don't know anything about Parisians in yeah. general, but that's always, you know, I'm from France, whatever.
Well, it is a black eye on sure. You just made the statement that it is impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
To and, steal and from the Louvre.
All I know about the French is from Casablanca and one day at the Louvre standing okay. in line, being gotcha. Told to stay still or stay move that still, way. Move. And I didn't get any of it.
All right. Okay.
But that's all I know. Hmm.
So this one such thief we're talking about, 29-year-old carpenter handyman named Vincenzo Perugia.
Yeah. Or Perugia.
That's a great
Perugia.
Name.
I think Perugia.
So Vincenzo. So when you said when you were saying Geppetto, I was like, it's Italian. His name is very Italian, but I couldn't think.
What a great yeah. name. I love that name.
He stashed the painting in the false bottom of a trunk in his Paris boarding house. And she sat there under a pile of old clothes and woodworking tools for 28 months before Perugia God. Decided to try and sell the painting to an art dealer in Florence.
She's just under his dirty underwear. I mean,
yeah.
Said he would take her out every night and stare at her for hours.
So it That's technically was taken by someone who had fallen in love with her.
He has these claims after that 2-year period that he fell in love with the woman in the painting.
Creepy and weird. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Different times, man.
But not surprising, okay. the art dealer that he contacted was immediately suspicious of the story. And so he had the head of a gallery in Florence ready to take a look at the, you know, alleged masterpiece when he arrived at the hotel in Florence to meet and sell. And after looking at it, he had wrapped it in red silk, you know, to present it or whatever. They were astonished because they're like, wow. This is the actual Mona Lisa. Like, there's stamp on the back. I mean, the authenticity was confirmed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Perugia said later that he was trying to return the painting to Italy since he assumed it had been stolen by Napoleon when he invaded Italy in 1796.
Probably. It's always his fault.
Wait, I thought it was always the Germans.
No, it's Napoleon.
Now it's the French.
Yeah, but now
I see why World War I happened.
It's just Napoleon.
Good God.
It's not the French.
He did take the Mona Lisa from the Louvre and hang it in his Paris apartment.
Napoleon?
Mm-hmm.
What?
It was hanging in his Paris apartment until 1804, and then he is going to return it back to the museum.
He just gave it back.
But the reason the Mona Lisa's in France was that Da Vinci himself had taken the painting with him when he moved to Paris. Or Paris area in 1516 to work for the King of France.
Mm.
So he literally is going to...
The man who painted it gave it to them.
Yeah. He walked the Mona Lisa to Paris. Like, he's going to walk over the French Alps holding a rope that was tied to like a burro sack that carried all his stuff, including the Mona Lisa.
Yep.
That girl has been places.
She's been around.
He was 64 when he made that journey on foot, and he's going to die 3 years later.
Oh, dear.
That's a wild thing to do. But
mm-hmm.
Perugia left the painting with the man from the gallery who said they would be glad to pay his 500,000 or 500,000 lire. Is that their
lira?
Lira. Yeah.
Oh.
Asking price, which is around 17,000 in today's American dollars.
What?
Yeah. So it, like,
it's not much.
It wasn't much then. Like, they're like, sure, we'll pay it. And then he's going to promptly scoot out of the hotel and call the police, the gallery owner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
An hour later, officers from the local police are going to knock on Perugia's hotel room and take him into custody without any incident. This is going to be December 11th of 1913. So we've gone from August of 1911 to December of 1913 before he gets caught. Literally the first attempt he made to sell it, he's going to get caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like he came up with a story about returning it after he got caught.
Yes, he did. He for right. sure did.
Yeah.
He's going to plead guilty and he's going to get sentenced to just 8 months in prison. Mm. A few days after his trial, World War I is going to break out. So really, there's not going to be any more of this drama of the archives
everybody,
on the front pages.
No one cares anymore.
It's like you said, the bigger deal finally came along and the Mona Lisa was off the front page.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is she back in the Louvre now?
Yes. So they kind of toured her around Italy for just a small time. And then a few weeks. And then in January of 1914, they're going to put her back in the Louvre.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, who is she? Who's it based on?
A woman named Lisa
Ghirardini.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, so, and
that based? Da Vinci knew?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did he have a relationship with her?
I think that's the lore, but like nothing ever confirmed.
Okay.
Like,
she was in her early to mid 20s. She was the wife of a guy who lived there in town, and he was a wealthy person.
Okay.
And what you did back then was you commissioned a painting of your sure. wife or your patriarch or whoever, and you hung it in your house. And that was
what that
as
was supposed
best as
to
I
be.
Know. That's what that she was just a neighbor who.
But why
whose husband
he
wanted
was
a painting?
He was infatuated. Like, was he not infatuated with her?
I was going to say, why didn't they end up with the painting? Like, how did Da Vinci get it?
He
back?
Never finished it. He always said, "I'm not done. I'm not done. I got to work on it some more." I don't know if they gave up at some point.
I'm
just said,
so,
"We're never
going
to get it. Screw this."
Yeah.
Or if he. Just left and walked over the Alps with it and didn't tell anybody he was leaving.
Okay.
But yeah, it was supposed to be hers. Never got that far.
Got it.
No. The painting is going to actually get loaned to President Kennedy and his wife, Jackie, and at some point. So like the French government's going to like send it to Washington, D.C. and then it spends some time in New York. So, you know, she travels around a little. Later on, and then, you know, Americans are gonna get to visit it for the first time without, you know, having to make their way to the Louvre.
I think that was kind of the when you asked earlier, when did she become famous? I think in America
was when Jackie
trip in the
60s was already into her. That's how like
gotcha.
Really
that's when
got
you started seeing it on T-shirts and coffee mugs and hair clips
and
whatever else.
She spent some time at the Met? She was at the Met for a while?
Mm-hmm. But she was exhibited in D.C. first, and then they, personally.
That's Scott sucking on his vape.
I thought it was my heater.
It doesn't beep.
It was.
No. It wasn't my beep.
Do it again.
Yes.
Yes, it beeped. Right into
I don't know
the
if
microphone.
The listeners can hear it, but we can.
It was right in my ear. I was like,
yeah, I thought it was my heater,
I've never heard that.
Because when I saw Katie move, that's why I was like, good Scott.
All right, we need to cut this out. We just sound like a bunch of ding-dongs that don't know what's going on anymore.
Okay.
Well, at least one of us does.
And I think that's relatively accurate.
All right.
So, but she's going to return home to the Louvre in February of 1963. But since returning home, there's going to be some things happen to her. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about our last sponsor.
Sure. Let's talk about the Chamber of Cherokee County. So let's plan your 2026 summer staycation right here with the Chamber in Cherokee County, Alabama. They have a complete list of terrific area attractions, cozy lodgings, creekside kayak rentals, and everything that you are going to need to have some fun. So they got RV sites, private campgrounds. Go to the Chamber website.
They know how to get you all of that information.
Oh, yeah, all of that. So you're going to visit the Chamber website at Cherokee-Chamber. Cherokee County.org and set up your Cherokee County staycation today.
I'm staying here this year.
Good.
It's my summer vacation spot.
Yep. It's fun.
Solid. Yeah.
It's fun here, especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. Lots to do.
Big time.
Yeah, you get FOMO. I do. Every time I'm out of town, something happens.
Something good. Yeah, yep. Always. Mm-hmm. So that's why you just need to stay here.
Yep.
For all the attention the Mona Lisa has attracted over the last century, it kind of is almost surprising that she has survived as long as she has. Because since returning to the Louvre, she's been attacked multiple times. In 1956, a man threw acid at the painting, damaging the lower portion. Later that same year, another attacker is going to hurl a rock at her, which chips the paint near her left elbow. Decades later, there was an attack in 2009 where a visitor threw a ceramic mug at the painting. It's going to now be protected at this point. And in 2022, a man disguised as an elderly woman in a wheelchair smeared cake on the protective glass as part of an environmental protest, because that's how you get your point across.
Yeah. At least it was cake.
Today, she hangs behind bulletproof climate-controlled glass. Not because she's frazzled, but because... Fragile. If I could talk. Not because she's fragile, but because, like, if history's taught us anything, it's that people, like, want to attack her.
Yeah, she's not very fragile. She's survived so far.
Yeah, because literally
she literally just sits there and somehow manages to piss people off. Yeah. So, yes. You know what? Just don't try. Don't try to make everybody happy. If the Mona Lisa keeps getting attacked.
Da Vinci didn't like it. He wouldn't give it to the person who paid him for it. So he must not have liked it either.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Like I said, and Scott's already talked about the bowl of soup. That's the last thing that happened to her.
Yeah. Somebody threw soup at her.
Somebody did throw soup at her
mm-hmm. in 2024. But like I said, this is behind the bulletproof glass now. So she's fine.
Yeah. That's the same thing in London.
You just look dumb now.
They were protesting. It was an environment. It was too. Mm-hmm. That happened there in London too. And it was tomato soup, I think.
Yummy. You would think.
And it just slid right off the glass in front of the sunflowers.
You just look dumb.
Yeah. Don't look at me.
Little Windex and all was better.
But that's really all we got for the
So did he ever say that there were two other guys with him?
No.
He never did.
No. And like I said, he was sentenced to like a little over a year and he only ended up spending 8 months because he actually won an appeal. Because Italy is going to kind of like brand him as a national hero because he's going to keep spinning this narrative that he was returning the Mona Lisa to her homeland. Okay. And
yeah, he thought he was patriotic.
Yeah, so they were, yeah, he really
so
got
Italy's
this
like, you know what? Yes, you are. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's kind of what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, he got a huge rebrand in Italy, even though they were like, you were going to shop her around.
You tried to sell her, but whatever. We're going to ignore that.
Yeah, we'll listen to
she
the part
laid
of the story
under
we
your
like.
Dirty underwear for a while.
2 years and you just stared at her every night like a creep.
You're our hero.
Yes. We didn't get to keep her for long in Italy, so you didn't succeed or anything.
Good grief. So he did his time, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did his time, got out.
And then what did he do? Do we know what he did? Remained quiet after that?
I don't think he's... he's not important anymore after this. He has, he got his 15
lesson.
Minutes.
He learned his lesson.
Like Andy Warhol said, and it's over.
Yeah, he would have been like 31 or something. Okay.
Yeah,
he was 29, I think, when the crimes were committed. Mm-hmm. Does that make him too old to serve in the military? Because like World War One broke out, so he could be serving.
I'm sure he probably ended up in the military, in that quagmire of a, awful thing that World War One was for 4 years.
Yes. Because he would have got out and the war would have already begun.
True. But I'll bet they handed him his walking papers and a rifle and said, muster
That's
right over there.
That's kind of where my thought process is. Like, I mean, if you get out, like, are you immediately conscripted?
You're not doing us any good in jail. Here's a rifle. Get to the Western
Front.
Is
the term conscripted in real life? Because I know that's what my war books call it.
Well, drafted.
when they're conscripting them into Dragon Riders College.
Yeah, that's different, I guess, than drafted. That just means you're legally required to go, right? I mean, I guess that's the draft too, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Conscription day.
Yeah.
That's just what Americans call it.
It's like part of your punishment, perhaps. If you're conscripted,
Oh yeah, no, you're drafted.
It's part of the punishment. If you're drafted, it's just
you're minding your own business, and now you got to go.
Yeah,
yeah. Conscripted, I think, is the whole population goes, right.
Oh, I thought maybe it is. I don't know. Look, all I know about the draft is that one episode of Bugs Bunny when he gets drafted because they think his name is Bob Bonnie or Bugs Bonnie instead of Bugs Bunny, and he gets drafted, and it's, you know, Corporal Tweety Bird, and nobody knows what I'm doing.
I do. Yeah, I watch Bugs Bunny.
Why did you look at me like, never mind, just forget it. Yeah, play us out.
Yeah. That's our cue.
All right, so that's the case of the missing Mona Lisa, who is now found and back in the Louvre where she belongs to this day.
To this day.
So we're definitely going to have murder next time.
Murder mayhem next time.
No, yes. Yeah, for those of you who don't like thievery.
All right. We'll see what we can do.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Katie did a great job today.
Yay, way to go, Katie.
We'll put some pictures up because the pictures are kind of cool.
All right, good.
You can see how big it is. See the size of it compared to someone holding it up.
Right, right.
You can really get a sense.
Well, thank you to all of our sponsors. Visit us at truecrimeoneasystreet.com.
Facebook page.
Uh-huh. Instagram. Mm-hmm. And email us with your suggestions. truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com. And while you're doing all the things, check out our main sponsor, Easy Street Restaurant, Bar, and Performance Hall.
Open every day.
Is that it, guys? Are we done?
That's it.
Good night, everybody.